Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Now, Roo, the things making news around the place. Turnbull government. This is some people find this controversial, but others will think this is a step in the right direction. It's been talked about a heck of a lot. Turnbull government has pledged $500,000 to a Melbourne company to research medical marijuana.
So the federal government. What are they researching? Not if it works or not?
I guess so.
Haven't they approved it? Or
he's pledged $500,000. Well, the way I take it at the moment, when you say they proved it, the stories I've read over time, it's people saying, oh, it helped me and it made me feel better. There's no definitive proof, is there? If it's just people saying, well, it helped me and I felt better.
I don't know. Will Anderson's certainly throws his name behind it, doesn't he? And he seems like quite an intelligent individual.
But again, he hasn't done some sort of scientific research on it, though, has he?
No, but he battles chronic pain, doesn't he? He's got something wrong with him, I think, Will.
I think so, yeah. But all I'm saying
osteoarthritis.
There hasn't been a proper medical research project done on it, really.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm from the Riverland where they do the other sort of marijuana.
Experimenting, yeah. been experimenting for years.
Fantastically.
They'll eventually get to the bottom of it.
They didn't get 500 grand.
Just take it a while.
They didn't get 500
No, they made 500.
They made 500.
Make it per annum.
Yeah.
Oh, let's all just do it then.
A lot of backyard zones or something. Some even tried to go and do it out in farms.
Never even went to university. No. They never realised they were
in their bedroom.
That's right. Didn't even have to leave home.
He's in the third bedroom this week. No one. Anyway.
Oh, your office at home. Hey, everyone's a winner.
They don't like power bills going up.
Keep your expenses down. I like it. Now, here's a story for you. We talk a lot about Uber on this show. Mm-hmm. Are you a fan?
I actually don't mind the service. I don't mind like what it gives you compared to a taxi.
Yep.
I just don't like the fact that taxi drivers have been totally screwed.
Yeah. And I'm with you on that. We've heard terrible stories. Some taxi plates cost around $500,000.
In Victoria, a lot of people paid $500,000 for their plates or bought them for $130,000 and have seen them appreciate up to $500,000 over a 20-year period.
Yep.
That's like their biggest asset outside their home.
Yeah.
A lot of migrant people who, there are a few Aussies in there as well, but a lot of them were migrants. And then now they're going to be worthless in a couple of years. So they've done their whole superannuation or their biggest asset, everything they've worked for over their life. That's what I don't like about it. If they were going to bring in Uber, I think it should have been done in a way where the taxi drivers got compensated first.
And something you told me recently, the guy that started it, he's made $1 billion.
$8 billion. Yeah.
And then
you've got all these little families and dads, people who've lost 200,000, 300,000, 400,000.
Right. How's this, Roo? I read an article yesterday. Now, this has come out of Scandinavia. There are countries in Scandinavia, and Alice told me this morning, also the city of New York, ban Uber. So they're actually getting rid of it. They've done an about face.
For what reason?
For the reasons we've just talked about. It's cost jobs. They don't like the concept. So Scandinavian governments have actually done an about face on Uber. You can no longer use it.
Right.
Airbnb is the other one they've targeted. So Airbnb and Uber in some countries around the world have now been banned.
Mm.
So there's a push. All I'm saying is there is a bit of a push. It started anyway in some parts of the world where they don't like it and they're going to do something about it. Now, Airbnb is an interesting one. In this article, it went on to say that yesterday in cities in Australia now, what some developers have done is build 6 very nice townhouses together in a block and put them straight on Airbnb, and they are booked out solid. Now, they get around the loophole of having to go through all the regulatory things to be a hotel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't have to have hotel staff. Mm. There are all these shortcuts, and they're making a lot of money out of it. And this is what governments don't like.
Oh, that's what people have been calling for ages. Oh, I'd actually like it. Some of the things that Airbnb offer as well. But once again, you got to look at the people who have been in before you and make sure they're not getting burnt, I think. But anyway,
the hotel industry, hospitality, again, it's all about jobs, isn't it? It's about paying taxes.
So where have they got rid of Airbnb? In the same places?
Yeah, same.
What, New York?
No, but in Scandinavia. That's where the push has started around the world,
okay.
Both Airbnb and Uber. I was reading a hospitality journal yesterday, as I do in my spare time. There you go. That's how interesting my life is in my one-bedroom flat with no windows. It's just... Now, here's the big story I've got for you about an Australian company.
Yep.
CUB,
CUB, that is a huge company.
Over the years, we're talking Foster's, we're talking Carlton Draft.
Oh, yeah.
Talking VB.
Well, sponsored the AFL for over 100 years.
Yeah, they've sponsored all sorts of things. Now, they're not the first company to do this, by the way, but I think it's a sad indictment. They've shifted their call centre to India. So when
you
ring
you want a Carlton Draft?
Carlton Draft with head.
You want a Crown Lager?
Yeah. Is that a bit sad?
Doesn't feel right.
Or is that a sign of the times?
Does not feel right. Yeah, but why does it have to be a sign of the times?
Well, it just is. Major companies, major organisations find it so much cheaper.
Why? Because what we haven't got an opportunity to be able to do that business for as cheaply as what they do in India. Mm. Our wages, base wages, too high compared to those places.
Yeah.
And again, we've got to set a standard of what we expect for minimum wage. So, and if everyone's comfortable with that, well, then that's fine. If they do it over there for $1 an hour or $2 an hour or $5 an hour, is that that's why they're going there? Is it? Or
yeah,
but then, is it unethical to use a business that pays someone that much?
It is, and I was about to say, didn't we all turn
the old Nike
on Nike? Yeah, a few years ago, there's a groundswell around the world about that, wasn't there?
Mate, what if it's half price? What if it's $10 an hour over there? Fine, if they think it's fine to work for that, is that okay?
Yeah, don't know. We'll never win that argument, but just worth noting, isn't it? This is what's happening.
Get back to Mr. CUB.
Yeah, see, if you want to know what's happening around the world, you come here, right here, Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. I only have time for one breakfast show. Ruin Dits for breakfast.
The Governor-General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
He is that busy, this fella, yet he always takes time out to speak to us, Ru, number one man.
That's because we give him a fair bit of good information, Dits.
Yeah, righto, let's get him on. Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Ru. Good morning to you, Dits. Hello to everybody in Adelaide.
Speaking of busy, you've been visiting the flood-ravaged areas, haven't you? How are they all getting on?
Well, I've been trying to help out the people in those flood-ravaged areas, and I guess the big problem, Dits, is once you start sweeping, how long do you keep sweeping?
Yeah, I saw you with the scrubbing brush.
Yeah, once you've had your photo opportunity. I mean, I want to pitch in and make my contribution, but normally I have staff to sweep. You can't take them along with you.
No.
And I could feel a blister forming in the webbing between my thumb and index finger.
Yes.
Now, the last time I felt that sensation, I was in a 30-knot breeze off the Spit in Sydney Harbour. I was at the helm, and Lucy was hauling the spinnaker.
Yeah.
I was yelling out, "She's going to blow, Luce!" Doing a bit of Captain Bligh, because my name is Malcolm Bligh Turnbull. Listen, I want to bolster their spirits up there, get a photo up, and then get the hell out of there.
Of course.
Yeah, why did you knock back having a nice sausage and a bit of bread then? I thought that was very rude.
What was I thinking? I'm so angry at myself. But the woman handed out the sausage sitting on the white bread, and I'd never seen white bread before. Like, what is that?
I was
perplexed. I didn't know it was food at first. But the stupid woman, she's offered me food without giving me a wine list. I mean, you know, what do you match it with? You match it with a Pinot Noir, a Chianti Classico, or a Sangiovese.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I was perplexed, and now everybody hates me.
Now, were you watching that incredibly left-wing show Q&A the other night? Did you see the former Danish PM criticising Australia?
We have tried our hardest to nobble the ABC and tear it down, and still it goes on. They'll go on by gaslight in a hole, those people. They really will, the commos. But yes, I saw the Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister of Denmark, Helle Thorning-Schmidt, on Q&A, saying that Australia isn't taking its place in the world. Well, we are where we're meant to be, next door to New Zealand and close to Bali, so people from Perth can go on holiday somewhere. Now, apart from swaling beer and consuming pork, what have the Danes ever done, really? I mean, they've, you know, they're dope-smoking Vikings that have named a pastry after themselves. And they've taken a bird from Tassie as their princess. I mean, have some self-respect.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, the old budget's a month away. Can we give us any sneak previews?
Well, Roy, I'll be making massive tax cuts for my friends. I mean, a big business. And hopefully that'll have a trickle-down effect. I really don't like the phrase trickle-down effect.
Mm.
It sounds like somebody's urinating on somebody else, but I guess that is the employer-employee relationship in this country. Mm. And at the top of them all is the unions with tits shortened. They're a bunch of commos trying to take our money. But essentially, the budget is kicking pensioners, throwing money at white elephants, and pumping up the price of durries. I mean, always has been, always will be.
Oh, and have you been singing any tunes this week to Lucy?
Well, I have been singing to Lucy and singing to the people who have been struggling with the floods. And who doesn't love a bit of ONJ, Roo? You have to believe we are magic. Nothing can stand in our way. Join in if you know the words.
Yes,
you have to believe we are magic. Don't let your aim ever stray.
Yeah.
And if all your hopes are
all right, that'll do. No, that'll do.
Destiny will. Good on you guys. I just want to say the Triple M rocks. Where are we rocking today? Alice didn't give me a suburb.
Prospect.
Good on you. Triple M Rocks Prospect.
He's never heard of it, the big fella.
They're good people up there, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Good on you, right, big mouth.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Ruin Tits for Breakfast. Roo, I'm a bit of a word-of-mouth sort of person, and we've already discussed this a lot, but bloody Facebook and TripAdvisor and all, I'd ban a lot of them, I really would.
They got their time and place if people are honest and accurate.
You say that. I don't even know what possesses a person to do it, though. If I go to your hotel and have a good experience, I'm more than likely, as I'm paying the bill, to say, fantastic, thank you, and I'll tell as many people as I can. I'm a bit like that from the old school.
Yep.
This front page story today really annoys me for a couple of reasons. I've been to the Victory Hotel at Selick Beach many, many times and love it.
Yep.
The view, the food, the wine cellar is out of this world, and they're good people as well.
Absolutely, but been a bit of controversy over a Facebook post that
one person,
the owner's taken a little bit of exception to, and quite rightly, because it was inaccurate for starters as well.
Yeah, Doug Govan's his name, he's the public and he's on the line. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, how are you going?
A bit of publicity you didn't really need for what's just a great hotel. What happened?
Well, what happened was we had 17 people rock up last Saturday night who said they had a booking at 6:30, yes. And we've looked in the diary and we haven't found it. We have found a booking for two people, and as you probably might know, on a Saturday night we're pretty booked out, and we had absolutely nowhere for them, and my manager and the lass who actually took the booking tried the best to say to them, look, we're completely full. We've got a booking for you for two people, and we always read the bookings back. The only thing we can do is if you want to have a meal, same kitchen, same chefs, you can have it in the bar area overlooking the ocean, and that's what we can do. And half of them seemed pretty happy with that, but then the others weren't. So off they went, and within 5 minutes, it started on Facebook.
So, and if you trace back, Doug, that whoever made the booking was the one who made the mistake. She actually booked in for two, did she, instead of 17?
It's quite clear in the diary that it's two people. I can't for the life of me understand how you can get two people confused with 17. And bearing in mind, once you get to 17 people, we always explain to them that it's got to be a group booking and they have a slightly limited menu because of the number of people.
Mm.
It is an absolute mystery to me, but I'm convinced that the lass who took the booking is 100% in the right.
All right. In hindsight, now, Doug, believe me, I'm on your side here because I can't stand, because we get abused daily in this job on social media, and, you know, it's not
you
nice.
Deserve
and it's
it,
not,
though,
yeah, I deserve it. That's fair enough. But I don't mean to drag you into it, Roo, though. But in hindsight, Doug, would you have handled this differently or not? Or and believe me, from what you've just said, I'm on your side. But reading what you wrote, you went all out, didn't you?
Well, I was furious with the first response. I'm not saying that my staff were obnoxious, unaccommodating, which wasn't the case.
Yeah.
So I fired back at that one, then went to bed shortly after that. And then the following day, there was just an absolute barrage saying the customer is always right.
Mm.
So, yeah, I got a bit annoyed. And look, in hindsight, there's a couple of things I said there which I probably wouldn't do again. So I think the answer is yes. I do regret some of the things I said. I think calling someone an idiot is not a very nice thing to say, and I certainly do regret that. The other thing is people just think they can just write something and then hit send and say, there you go, beautiful. I've said that, said my piece. I'm not going to hear any more about it. You know, they're going to be wrong if they do that with us.
How do you feel about, in general, TripAdvisor and I think, is it Urban Spoon and Facebook and all these different sites that you can do it? Is that an important part of your business, or is it a part of the business that you do monitor and value, generally speaking, or do you think a lot of it's slanted for whatever reason?
Roo, I used to hate it, but having said that, TripAdvisor, I use the tool myself if I'm going to go on holiday somewhere or go to a restaurant. I look it up and I read between the lines. And I used to take offence when people gave bad reviews on TripAdvisor for us. But having said that, at one stage we were number one on TripAdvisor in South Australia, so I was absolutely thrilled to pitch.
So
it's a mixed bag.
Very accurate.
As more and more people have access to these sort of sites, you're finding that there's a lot of people who have a whinge. When we've had a bad review, sometimes I click on the person and find that they've posted 10 reviews in total and 8 of them are completely vile. There are people out there that do that, and they should be monitored and they should be flicked off the site.
Well, at least you got a good photo on the front page with your dog, Doug. That's one thing you've got out of it.
Thanks, Drew. I've just got to the pub now and they're out of the car and lying down out the back of the office.
Good on you, Doug. Thanks for talking to us.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
There you go. Doug Govan from the Victory Hotel at Selix and Roo. Look, I'm a word of mouth person, so for my 2 cents worth, it's a great joint. Head down there. And yep. I think you could tell from listening to Doug, he's a good bloke.
No, it is. And, look, it's the ugly side of modern business.
I want to share this with you. And I don't mind naming the place because I love supporting, you know, people that are good in this town. But I went to Singapore House recently, a restaurant that you know. And
up on Glen Osmond Road.
I'm old-fashioned. At the end of the night, I had my family with me. We had such a good meal. Anyway, the young girl serving us, well, we spoke to her. She was so brilliant and so attentive and friendly and charming. So I'm paying the bill and I said, can I speak to the manager, please? Manager came over and said, is there a problem? I said, no. I said, I actually want to tell you something. That young girl over there, I said, you look after her. She's absolutely brilliant. So I would rather say,
yep,
hey, this was my experience. And the manager went, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the feedback. Can I just ask, 133353, honestly, do you get on TripAdvisor and rate these places? Why do you do it? And why do you feel the need to do it?
How much notice do you take of it? Or how do you work out if you're going to go to Melbourne and you want to look at it, how do you rate it?
I'm old-fashioned. I always go on word of mouth. People tell me a good play, I'll go and see it. And I try and tell people as well.
Give us a call, 133353.
Triple M.
Roo, just talking about the fact of what's happened down at the Victory Hotel at Selix Beach. These people that get online and have to have their opinion about their experience. I don't get it. I don't understand it. What just happened?
Even good if it's wrong.
Good old word of mouth. Tell people how good your experience was, or if you didn't like it, you won't go back. That's where I come from, old school.
Yeah, we know that. Michael Sorry. From Findon.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Michael.
I'm a bit like you, Ditz. I don't use TripAdvisor. I don't go any of those sites. You know why? I think you can't taste them, right? So you've got to go there, take your family.
Yep.
And enjoy the meal. If you don't like it, well, you just don't go back. Simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, there is a place. I'm just going to give a bit of a plug. There's a new place in Findon, the Findon Shopping Centre, called Chiang Mai Thai. And, mate, let me tell you, it's the smallest little place, but the food is sensational.
Well done. All right, there you go. A bit of word of mouth.
Is that like Tommy Tai Chi?
Chiang Mai Thai? No, we prefer Tommy Tai Chi's, but I'm going to give it a go if I'm down that way.
G'day, Liz.
Oh, hi, how are you going?
What do you think about Facebook and social media sites for reviews?
I really like them. That's the saying, how he just goes word of mouth. But I'm 3 years new into Adelaide, so I don't have a lot of people to talk to about that.
Yep.
So, I'll go on to a website and check out the reviews. I also do reviews as well.
Yep. Do you think you do them honestly?
Yes, I do. I don't do the bad ones, though. If I didn't like it, I won't do a comment. But if I do like it, especially if the restaurant's pretty quiet and they've got great food, I'll give them a go.
That's good.
Hey, now, Liz, you sound like you're from New Zealand. What brought you to Adelaide?
Just change it. We were actually living in Sydney and just moved over to Port Augusta at first, believe it or not.
Good on you, Liz.
And you found the power went off, so you shifted to Adelaide.
You're sick of eating crabs.
Yeah, love Adelaide. And it's hard to find a bad place to eat here in Adelaide.
Good on you, Liz. That's what I wanted to hear. Mm. Well done, Liz. Good on you, and welcome to Adelaide.
Let's go to Selix Beach. G'day, Warren.
Morning, boys.
What would you like to say, Warren?
I've been to the Victory Hotel at Selix probably 50-plus times over a number of years.
Oh, you got to start getting out a bit more, Warren.
No, well, there's not too many pubs close by down at Selly.
Right,
The Victory books out pretty much every night of the week, and I'm not sure, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I wasn't there on the night, but I've never found anything wrong with the place.
Yep.
The meal's always spot on. They do a great job, and the staff are always pretty good and friendly, so I'm not sure happened that night, but it's definitely not what happens in that place on the average night.
Well, they didn't even get to eating or anything. That's the thing. Yeah. The issue was just totally around booking and getting a seat. But it sounds like they went out of their way to put them in a great spot anyway.
Yeah, they tried. It's good to get positive feedback. Sharon at Balhanna, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good,
very
thank you.
Good, Sharon.
I use TripAdvisor all the time at that group that use it about word of mouth. When you're travelling overseas, you don't get word of mouth. So that's why I use it, because I look up reviews mainly for accommodation type things or how to get, you know, a good restaurant to go to when you're overseas. So that's why it's probably more popular for travelling than for local things.
Yeah. Do you get on and do reviews yourself?
I do. Yeah, especially, you know, in accommodation places, I'll do, you know, nearly, I'd say 99% they would be good reviews. One place in Bologna, I've had a really bad experience, and I think the reviews were possibly not accurate by, you know, could tell from all the, everyone had written on there.
Mm.
And I thought, no, there's something wrong here. And I actually did put in a review as to what I thought, and that actually TripAdvisor took it off. I think the people, I think there is some, I don't know, whether they pay for, you know, for good reviews or filter or something. I don't know. But yeah, there was one other review that I found about this place, and I thought, yeah, you're exactly the same as me. You're not liking it.
Mm.
And hers disappeared as well. So, but generally, and so I don't rely on it quite so much, having had that experience.
I didn't know you could take them off.
Yeah, I can't take them off. But
no, but I didn't know people could take them off.
It's not there anymore.
Okay.
Mm. All right. Okay. Thanks, Sharon. Mel, Aberfoyle Park, hello.
Hi, how you going?
Good, thank Mel. You.
We moved back to South Australia 3 years ago after living in Darwin for 11 years. A lot of restaurants obviously aren't there anymore, and some of those that are have changed hands and gone from really good restaurants to really shocking restaurants. We use both things like TripAdvisor, and you'll
Oh, we're losing you, Mel. Sorry, Mel. We're really your fault, Mel. But your phone's breaking up there. Anyway, look, mixed review there.
Yes.
Look, it turns out in this day and age, people like using it. I'm old-fashioned, but they love it, and so I suppose we're
just
stuck with it.
Just be accurate and honest, you idiots.
Yeah, be accurate and honest. You idiots, yeah.
Oh, well.
See, there's a bit of honest feedback for you.
Oh, well, you can tell I'm a bit frustrated by it as well.
But
stop trying to sensationalise. Just tell the truth.
My final thing would be, if I was in another city, and not everyone stays in a hotel, I understand, but if you're in a caravan park hotel, wherever you're staying, don't you walk down to the concierge and say, mate, I'd love a Chinese meal tonight. What can you recommend? You'd go down that street there, want an Italian meal. Don't you sort of do that a bit, real
yeah,
or not?
But people do use the internet, dude. They are going to use it. But
the what? What was that you said?
The World Wide Web.
Get out.
Yeah.
How long's that been around?
Oh, a couple of years.
Ruined it for breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M on Ruined Dits.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants. And as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT. Complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, he's the new Nick Revolt. Running headlong back into a pack. Blind the wrong way. Hey, eyes for the footy only. Jackson Trengove, good morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Gee, that was a moment of madness, wasn't it?
A bit silly late in the game. I actually looked at how late it was and I thought, probably shouldn't do that to retire. It's one of those things you just do. It happens in a game and you're obviously full of confidence and you just go back and take the mark.
Nah, well done. Good team effort. Everyone played well.
Yeah, it was really good. I think probably a main thing for us was to back it up off our first round win, and to play four quarters was probably extremely impressive of the boys, and we've just got to continue it on now.
Yeah. Can you win the flag?
Oh, mate. We've strung two games together. We haven't won games for a long time.
Look, he's going to try and get inside your head this
no,
week. He's been going on all this BS
no,
all week.
You know,
Porter good. Oh, I think you're going to be too good for it. Just don't listen to him, right?
Okay, you two. You tell me who you can't beat.
No, that's not the question. The question is beating Adelaide.
But I'm not allowed to ask the question.
Jackson?
Who can't you beat?
No, I think...
Who's unbeatable in the comp this year?
I don't think anyone is at any time.
There you go.
So. I think, you know, if we
it's
can
very
play,
even,
if
isn't
we,
it?
If we can play that footy, it's obviously going to be competitive. It's shown at the last two rounds. But, you know, as I mentioned, I reckon anyone, like if you're bottom or top, it doesn't really matter. You can beat anyone. The competition's even, as you said. And we'll
GWS is not, you know, they're not bulletproof, are they?
Well, they lost round one, but obviously teams are going to get stronger throughout the year. It's still trying early, trying to work things out. Obviously, players coming back in and out. So I think you'll get a fair gauge in a couple of weeks of how good each side is.
Sydney's zipping too. Sydney, they've got a lot more younger players in their side this year. Yep. Hawthorn have slid. Geelong, lucky to win last week. I don't think they're a powerhouse. Western Bulldogs not playing at their best, but should improve, you'd think.
Yeah, they look pretty solid.
I think that'd be one of the most solid. It's going to be very even. I think it's going to be a very, very even year.
Yep.
So you can win the flag.
Don't. Jacko, now, what's the rule with your emergency players? Are they meant to be at the ground, or what's the story?
Yeah, tell the truth.
There's a little bit of a mix-up with that. I mean, obviously, it's not ideal that he was out playing around a golf, but I think Ken was as surprised.
Lucky he was only on the 18th.
I think Ken was as surprised anyone he was having a hit. So, obviously, the boys are meant to be there on the day and meant to be ready and as if they're playing. Yeah. So
prepared to play.
Yeah. It was a mix-up, but to his credit, got to the ground as quick as possible once Kenny got onto him, and he played quite well. So,
but at any stage, was Ken angry about that when he rang him and said, "Oh, I'm on the golf course"? Did Ken fire
if you
up
lost
or not?
He might have been.
That's another point. If you lose, but Ken's pretty he's down to earth. He knows what blokes think. So I think these things happen. It's a mistake. It's not like he meant to do something wrong or by the rules. It was simply just did not know what the protocol was. And that's probably a little bit, on our side of things. Obviously, the older boys and probably the administration should have let him know that obviously he's got to be ready just in case something does happen, like Hamish getting sick the day off.
Yeah. Did he get sick? Was he sick or is he injured?
No, he was crook. So he come down to the rooms and tried to play. The doctor gave him some stuff to try and get through for the day. But it was just one of those 24-hour bug things that goes round. And obviously Hamish was as disappointed as ever not to be out there in the wind. So he basically tried to get up, come to the game, tried to warm up, just felt no good. And to his credit as well, he could have probably pushed through and not been right, where he sacrificed for the team and let someone else come in and play their role.
Yeah, sacrifice for team, Roo, that's what it's called. Now, it's just you were trying to suggest something else.
I swear to God,
yes,
that I watched TV on Monday night and he was walking, the footage they showed, he was walking into your change rooms with scans.
I told you, it was old footage.
Well, don't do it, misleading TV
stations. Do that all the time.
Well, I put old footage
out. That was from 3 years ago.
Well, you shouldn't walk in with scans. You don't have scans of a cold.
Bit of archive footage. Hey, Jacko, you played down back. Ken Hinckley said pre-season.
Not Port Adelaide at all.
Thank you.
Of course I don't.
Ken Hinckley said pre-season that you would spend time up forward, but on the weekend you went back. And, gee, that defensive unit looks pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty solid down there. The boys have been doing a really good job. And obviously, with Hamish going out, Ken said to me before the game, you're a fair chance of going back. Yep. So, it's one of those things that I knew at some stage I'd be going back and going to play forward and a little bit of the ruck. So it's going to be a bit everywhere for me. It was a credit to the boys that we've got down back now for me to be able to just go back in there and fill in. I've played a lot of games there, so I'm pretty confident going back there.
Young Houston, very, very good.
Terrific.
Yeah, yeah, terrific. Both games have been great, haven't they?
He's been awesome. I think he adds a lot to the group. He's got that lovely kick off the halfback, and he's just strong in one-on-ones, and that's what we want.
Yeah. Jackson Trengove is our special guest. More with Jacko in just a moment. Thanks to Comwire IT, Complete IT, Support and Cloud Solutions Business. Ruined It's here with Jackson Trengove on Triple M.
Triple M on Ruined It's.
Goes to Jackson Trengove. He can actually have a shot on goal if he wants, and as easy as you like, he kicks the first goal.
It's Port Adelaide's Jackson Trengove.
For Comwire IT, Complete IT Support and Cloud Solutions Business.
Oh, he's the heartbeat. He's the spiritual leader of the football side out on the ground. We're
the
talking
barometer.
Jackson Trengo. Jacko, I know you're not allowed to bag umpires, and I don't expect you to, but let's talk about the rules for a moment. On the weekend, Paddy Ryder in the goal square goes up, gets the perfect tap down, bang goal. Brilliant work.
It wasn't perfect. He wasn't even meant to jump.
This is my point. Perfect ruck work, gets the tap down.
No.
Poor kick a
breakdown
goal.
Breakdown and communication.
Free against us. What on earth happened there?
Oh, it was an illegal move that we tried to get away
there
with. According to the rule, and that's the way it is, you just got to play by it, that you have to be nominated. So the umpires are making a conscious effort of nominating the player who's rucking. So they'll actually ask myself or
Paddy
or whoever's in the ruck.
If
you haven't put your hand up, who's rucking. So,
I see that in the little league at halftime. The umpire points to two little kids and goes, right, you go up for the ball.
That's how it is.
Absolute ball dust. We're talking AFL football here.
Two or three times they'll wait until you get the right ruck work, which stops the obviously third man up rule, which is what's come in. So
let me put this to you, right? A little bit of common sense should prevail in this game. The umpire walks in between all you fellas and throws the ball up. And if more than one from either side goes up, that's called third man up, and he should blow his whistle.
Yeah, but Jackson was with the opposition ruckman holding him back.
How many went up for the ball?
Three.
No.
One.
One. Paddy Ryder went up for the ball.
Yeah, but the ruckman from the opposition thought he was going up against Jackson.
Bad luck. Correct. He should look at the ball and go for it. Two ruckmen.
Are you going to read the rule book before the game, Dits?
There's too much grey area if you go with them. If they
he agrees with me.
No, there's too much grey area. You need a black and white. It's black and white. Me and Paddy obviously didn't go by the rules on that one.
It's black and white in Dits' eyes because he's black and white through and through.
All I saw was a ruckman get a tap down.
No one argued.
It did look nice. I was clapping as well.
Thank you.
It looked fantastic.
I'd already written it down. I'd written it down in my book.
Powell Pepper, another one.
Yeah.
He was on his own in the goal square.
Imagine if that cost us the game.
Oh, you're a mile in front anyway, Dits. I want to know what's changed at Port Jackson. Come on, there's got to be something that's happened.
Tell him nothing.
I know, you've probably copied what we've done the last couple of years and done more skills down there. Is that what's happened?
We've done plenty more skills in the off-season. That was one area that we needed to focus on. But I think Ken really stripped it back. It's funny how
you practice your skills, you get better at kicking, isn't
it? Well, that's it. Yeah, we finally worked that out. But
All clubs have probably worked that out because they went all on the running for a long, long time. And neglected their skills and did more of the game simulated training where you might only get a couple of kicks in half an hour instead of doing skills where you get 30 kicks.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we probably didn't play our simulation game to really late this year. We sort of held back on that. We're doing a lot more skill stuff and probably just that hunger back. The boys are really hungry at the moment. We want success. We had 2 years where it was very poor and I know it's easy to say that you can just flick the switch, but Ken did really strip it back. He looked at every single thing that was going on in the club, which is credit to him and the coaches. They really put a lot of time into it, and as good football clubs do, they work out the problems and you start to come good. Obviously, it's only two rounds in, and we've got a long way to go, but it's promising signs early.
Are there a lot of blokes out of contract at Port this year?
There's a few.
There's quite a few, isn't there?
Nothing more than what there is every other.
No one you'd want.
What, Jackson?
No one that you'd want.
No. The story is there's quite a few out of contract and they've been told to wait to the middle of the year.
It's the first I've heard.
Yeah.
Good answer. Swear to God.
Swear to God.
Good answer. Let's wrap it up.
Okay, so Kane Corns knows nothing.
Let's wrap it up right there. Jackson, good luck on the weekend, mate. Do the right thing.
Yeah, it'll be a great game. Good luck, Jackson.
Thanks for having me again, boys.
Good on you, mate. Jackson Trengove, thanks to Comwire IT, Complete IT Support and Cloud Solutions Business.
Big Mal coming up shortly.
On Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
This is so alarming that it's just about funny, actually.
Well, I've read the article that you're about to talk about and thought that it must be reported incorrectly or some important fact must have been missed out.
That's what it seems to be. But this fella, San Sems, his name, we can name him because it's in the paper. It's an exclusive in the Advertiser. Now, on Australia's and on South Australia's most wanted list, on the run for 4 years. So been hiding away, apparently in his parents' home, for 4 years. So I think he's already broken a couple of rules there, hasn't he?
He's on the run. Jail for that.
Didn't turn up for court. Yeah, should go to jail just for that alone. But this is about a meth lab where he's admitted to it. Didn't turn up for court. He faced up to 10 years in jail, a $50,000 fine, or both, right? Mm. Now, that's how severe this is. Has been given a suspended sentence of 18 months. So he'll do no time and I think a suspended fine of $500, which is just unbelievable, a good behaviour bond. I wanted to go to the Victims of Crime about this, all right? The Victims' Rights Commissioner is Michael O'Connell. He joins us this morning. Michael, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Ruin Dits, and to your listeners.
How do you respond to something? Am I on the right track here? Is this terribly wrong? How can a bloke be on the most wanted list? I thought most wanted was some of the dangerous criminals in our society, and I would have thought 25 years or something.
Well, I think your listeners are going to be somewhat bewildered. Bewildered because methamphetamine at the moment is a scourge on society. Also, suspended sentences. There are many people who tell me that it's conceptually flawed. If someone has committed such a serious and heinous crime, then they deserve to serve some time inside.
And it's plastered all over the papers ever at the moment what issues it's causing in society. We've got parents dropping off kids at school that are getting busted with it. We've got all sorts of things happening all over the place. Yet we've got a person who, if you read this article, has owned up to manufacturing it.
And being on the run for 4 years.
And also being avoiding on the run, police. Not even owning up and going to the slammer and say, I'll cop my time for, you know, I knew I was going to be a crook. I knew I've done wrong. I'll cop my crime. He's on the run as well, and he gets off. It does not make sense. What would the police think? Well, I mean, police out there would be going, what the hell am I chasing these dangerous people for them to get out? They must be furious, the police.
Well, the police are likely to be furious, but let's think about it from the point of view of mums and dads whose children have either been seriously injured or even died as a consequence of consuming methamphetamine out and about. The police and other emergency service workers nearly every weekend are collecting and picking people up. Emergency service workers in hospitals are being assaulted as a consequence of this drug. And here's a man manufacturing it, and he ought to, I think the public at large would expect, see the other side of those bars.
Michael, what does or what can your organisation do in cases like this? Do you have any power? What can you do?
Well, given that drug offences are often considered to be victimless, I have a very little role, but just recently I actually went down to the court and made a statement on behalf of the people of South Australia around the impact that clandestine laboratories have, but effectively, because of the mix of precursors and the inexperience and lack of knowledge of some of these people who set up this laboratory, there are effectively bombs out in the community just potentially waiting to explode. There are people pouring chemicals into the soil, which then later can cause injury to young children who are playing in that garden or something similar. This is a serious problem that needs to be tackled. And in terms of general deterrence, when you look at that story, you'd have to be somewhat astounded, to say the least.
But from the victims of crime point of view, though, as an organisation, can't I look at the fact that he could have got 10 years and a $50,000 fine, but gets a suspended sentence? Is there an avenue for your organisation to go down to actually make sure these things don't happen in courts?
Well, I can go down and make what's called a community or neighbourhood impact statement in court and ask the judge to take that into account. In this particular case, that is obviously too late for that to happen. If it was a crime that clearly there were identified victims, then those victims can actually ask the Director of Public Prosecutions to review the sentence and, if it's appropriate, lodge an appeal. I know from speaking to the Director of Public Prosecutions, in all cases such as this, where he believes that there is a possibility of an appeal, he will conduct a review and look into that matter. And maybe that's something that I ought to be talking to him about.
It just doesn't make sense, this story. No. It does. There's something fishy about this, I reckon. I mean, what sort of message is it sending to other people out there who are thinking, I might have a go at manufacturing? We've just seen a bust in Melbourne for $900 million, the biggest ice bust in the history of Australia, 900 kilos of ice. Mm. So someone out there in South Australia is reading the paper today thinking, I might set it up and try and make some money on the side. Well, if I only get caught the first time, I might get off. Mm. I might get off. If it's such a big issue in society, if it is as big as what they're all saying, they should have a big deterrent to be able to do it. This story doesn't stack up. I just wonder if there's got to be more to it.
Yeah. All right, Michael, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Michael O'Connell is the Victims' Rights Commissioner. This story leaves me scratching my head.
He must have squealed, I think.
Oh, you reckon?
Maybe.
Did a little deal.
Maybe. Mm. It has to be. How can you not go to jail for doing that?
All right. It's Ruined Dits for Breakfast on Triple M at 8:28.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Perfect. Through a fair bit happening in the world of football and some big stories, Gary Ablett already linked to Geelong. Yep. We've played two rounds of football. Is there anything in it?
Well, the reason he's been linked to it because he asked for a trade at the end of last year. He's got some personal issues, apparently, that...
the wife wants to live in Geelong.
Yeah, exactly.
Did anyone tell her that they're earning about $2 million a year on the Gold Coast?
Well, he's getting paid about $1 million a year at the moment in his new contract, which is big money. And there's only, you know, half a dozen or so players in that category. But the way he was running around on the first 2 weeks of the footy season is not the Gary Ablett that we know. Not going in for the ball, not having any physical contact, looked disinterested, you know, just looked like a B-grade, C-grade sort of player. Which is not, I mean, I love Gary Ablett Jr. I think he's been unbelievable up with his dad. Different type of player, but in the same category. But Gold Coast as well got a huge problem. There's so much going wrong up there by the sounds of it.
So the whole environment's not right, is it?
Yeah, he should have never been captain, if you ask me. He wasn't even in the leadership group at Geelong. The culture, you name it, I don't think it sounds like it's right. But at round two, you know, they're talking about him going back to Geelong. It just doesn't sound right. You know, talking about players moving clubs publicly at that time of the year. It happens in rugby league and they're used to it and it happens, and it only happened recently.
There's a famous story yesterday. Cooper Cronk, who's a very well-known state of origin player, has already announced he's going back to Sydney next year. They're not round two, they're a few rounds in actually.
But
to announce it this early, but that is normal in their game. Could we do that?
We're not ready for it. We haven't been ready for it, but the fact that we're talking about it now means that we must be getting closer. But Ablett, Dangerfield and Selwood wouldn't be a bad midfield if Ablett got back to anywhere near his best.
How do they pay for that?
Well, that's the next question. They'd have to take pay cuts. They'd have to get rid of someone. If Gold Coast thought that he was going to be a total liability for them up there and he's on $1 million, they might pay half his contract for next year just to get rid of him
and get
some draft picks. Apparently are paying for most of Delidio's contract.
Yeah, no, I know. It's happening, but it's crazy when it comes to that.
Yeah, it is. Well, that just means you've made a bad decision. So that's interesting. We'll watch this space and what happens with Gary Ablett, how he plays for the rest of the year. If he's got any substance at all, which I think he would have, he needs to do what Patrick Dangerfield did at the Crows and play his heart out.
Yep.
Danger couldn't have done any more at Adelaide, even if he'd made his mind up, and I don't know if he had. But if he had, he couldn't have handled himself any better and got a lot of reward, a lot of respect for that, the way he conducted himself.
Is Danger still a partner in your pub?
Yes.
How much longer?
I'm fleecing him blind at the moment.
Right.
He wouldn't have a clue.
You're not showing him the books?
Oh, my God. That's if you'd show him the right set of books.
Oh, I had another bad month. Hey? No, I didn't make any money this
bloody
month.
Fringe.
Oh, killed us again.
Economy's tough.
I want to ask you about...
Anyway,
bad March. I want to ask you about Josh Kelly. This came out yesterday, $9 million contract. Now, I would not that I'm an expert. I wouldn't even know Josh Kelly if he was standing here. Is this bloke this good, is he?
I'll fill the picture in. So he was a pick two, right?
Right.
Draft pick number two that Melbourne had, and they swapped it to GWS for two picks. They've got two players. Josh Kelly is 21 or 22. Very, very smooth moving wingman, who's starting to play a little bit as in the centre square as well. So you talk about outside midfielders, you know, like a Polek or Rory Atkins. He's starting to get inside and play a little bit more in the centre square and be a little bit more inside as well. But what happens is North Melbourne apparently offered Isaac Heaney, who you have heard of.
Yes.
All right. They apparently offered him a monstrous contract, like a $900,000 a year contract for a kid.
From Sydney
to try and get him back, but he didn't end up going. He stayed at Sydney on probably more money than he thought he was going to get. And now North Melbourne think they need to offer these massive deals to try and get someone out of these clubs. So they've offered a 9-year deal for $9 million reportedly, which, you know, in today's money, it's probably $750,000 for the year and then, you know, goes up. But it's rivaling Buddy Franklin's 9-year, $10 million contract or Alistair Lynch's. So Josh Kelly, the story on the net is that, you know, GWS have offered him a 2-year deal. So it'll be hard to knock back.
Unbelievable.
His dad played for North Melbourne.
Yep.
So there's a bit of a connection. So that's a big contract to knock back.
That's huge. You're right.
What would you do?
You'd go, for sure. In fact, I'd...
I can see North Melbourne improving.
I've already packed.
I think I like North Melbourne.
Go the Kangaroos, What's their club song? I'd be learning that straight away. Yeah. That's what's happening in the world of football. Some big, big stories.
Big Mail next.
On Triple M.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. Get it off your chest with Ruin Dits Red Fist.
Oh, it's 8:40, time for Red Fist. What has been annoying you? Anything you need to get off your chest? You can ring us on 1-333-53. And Roo, we've got a double to go and see the showdown this weekend. Ooh. For our best Red Fist.
Yep.
Hey, what about the Audi Club competition?
Yes, a great award to give away. That's going to be the best place to watch it on Saturday night.
Adam Owen, well done. Adam has won our double to go and sit in the Audi Stadium Club and watch the showdown. Unbelievable. Exclusive access to football, cricket, all events up there. It's just magnificent.
Oh, good night coming up for you, Adam, on Saturday night. And one lucky mate of yours will be heading with you.
Right, Red Fist for me. Now, we hear this a lot, I know, but I can't believe an iconic name like CUB, Carlton United. You're talking VB and Crown Lager and over the years Foster's, Carlton Draft, big Australian company.
Melbourne Bitter.
Have sent their call centre to India. So if you're in Carlton Draft now, call centre in India.
You don't like your beer?
Yeah.
Is that Indian?
Beer is flat. Yeah.
No, look, not quite what you picture when you ring up to complain about beer.
I don't reckon. No. I know, as I said, a lot of companies are doing it. It's been happening for a while now, but don't like the fact that a real iconic brand like that
has to do it.
Heads to
India.
They'll
be forced into it, nearly. Yeah. Mine is could easily be in how you spot a tosser segment, ooh, this one. And it's been happening for a couple of years, but it's almost happening all the time. Every time a politician's on TV these days, how they're talking, they're looking at the camera, and then behind them, they've got a couple of puppets behind them.
Yeah.
And they're always nodding their head going, right, big mouth. That's right, Stephen or Jay. That's absolutely right. So the blokes are sitting around there like little puppets in the background. Mm-hmm. Does that annoy you?
Little cheerleaders.
That's only happened the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah. A bit of positive reinforcement.
What are they doing, trying to get a little bit of time on TV? Is that what they're doing?
No, they're by nodding a lot, they're trying to convince you by watching it that, he's saying the right thing. Yeah, no, he's right.
Big press conference.
What he's saying is correct.
More than one person there.
Yeah, how do you know a politician's lying?
When his lips are moving.
There you go. That's right. 1-333-53. Give us a call with your Red Fist. We've got a double to go to the showdown here on Triple M.
Get it off your chest with Roo and Dits Red Fist.
Oh, at 8:46 on this Wednesday morning, Red Fist Roo, who have you got on the line?
Oh, we're going to Cheltenham. G'day, Stuart.
G'day, boys.
How you going, Stuart?
Stuart, what's good, your mate. Red Fist?
Oh, fellas, this drives me nuts. Watching the footy on Fox with the kids, and the kids are 5 and 7, boy and a girl, and some of the commercials that come on for shows that are programmed to air later in the night are completely inappropriate. I mean, and the ads just, they really upset the kids. And,
the footy shows as well. What
sort of ad? Oh, well, I don't know what the shows are, but some of them are zombie shows, and the ads are pretty graphic. And the kids are 5 and 7, they just don't need to see that. And we were watching one of the, I think it was Open Mic or one of those footy programs the other night, which is probably on after about 7:30. But an ad come on for, the Stephen King, the It movie. And the kids were watching this. And they don't mind those footy shows. And it was just, way over the top.
Why don't you make a complaint to Fox Direct if you think you're right there and see what their answer is.
Yeah, not a bad idea, Roo.
Good on you, Stuart.
Well done, Stuart. It's a fair complaint.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep. Let's go to Collinswood. G'day, Sophie.
Hi, Roo. How are you going?
Good, Sophie.
I just want to comment on, you had that story about the Australia's Most Wanted guy.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of judge would hand down that kind of sentence? I mean...
Doesn't make sense, Sophie, does it?
All that evidence against him, he's Australia's Most Wanted, he's a drug...
manufacturer.
And he's got off without any jail time, without a fine. I mean, what's the legal system doing?
Yeah.
You get fined more for going 10 k's over the speed limit when you're not even trying to.
Yeah.
And those poor policemen are scratching their heads going, bloody hell, we've got this guy, here he is. Put him away. Mm. And the judge said, oh, sorry, slap on the wrist, don't do it again. And out... got free. It's like, oh.
Good on you, Sophie. We're on your side with that. No worries about that. Thanks for calling in. 1-333-53.
G'day, Scotty.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I think the message has gotten through about people littering. If you see someone drop a piece of paper or a wrapper or something, you kind of stick your nose up at them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Put it in the bin, mate. It's not that hard.
Exactly. So what gives the smokers the right to butt their cigarette out on the road or on the floor or wherever and just leave it there?
Thank you. I'm with you. I'm with you.
That's a bit lazy, isn't it, Scotty?
They throw it out their window and they're driving along.
Yep. Yep, they need to be caught, don't they?
Yeah.
Find them. Lock them up forever. Put them on Australia's Most Wanted list and let them off on a suspended
sentence. They'll get off, yeah.
Let's go to Parafield Gardens. G'day, Tim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mine's a bit ironic for the giveaway, but I'd like to shake the red fist at the Adelaide Oval.
Oh, hang on. The oval that we love.
Gee,
hang on. Where's
the best oval in the world?
It is, but when you go to the Eastern Stand, you can't use cash. It's card only.
No cash yet. What are all the Italians going to do? Gee, where's Dit?
What about those that try and budget for their trips away? What about the older generation that don't use cards too much?
Are you saying there's no cash at all?
No cash here.
Wow.
Not
that's a sign of the times.
There wasn't. So, yeah, I wasn't overly impressed
Tim,
about that.
That would have been all right. They get mates to pay for you.
Mm.
That's it.
That old chestnut. I've only got a card. Yeah.
Cashless society we're heading into, Dits.
All right.
That, would that Facebook, be, all right, mate, you must be upset.
From your pub's point of view, would that be a good thing?
Cashless?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd save you a lot of time, for sure.
Yeah.
Counting money and all of that.
And theft.
Getting knocked off.
Yeah.
Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Emily.
Hi, how you going?
Good,
Emily. What do you think?
It's the ad on TV with Jay Weatherall talking about the power.
Yeah.
Isn't he the one that got us in this situation? And now that he's on the doing the ads, talking about the national scheme, you know, didn't work and everything like that. Well, he put us here. Mm.
Labor have only been in for 15 years.
you look 10 years ago, we were doing all right, and now look at the crap we're in now with the electricity.
Emily,
I'm not even going to run into you, Em.
Emily's fired up.
Let's go to Morphettville. G'day, James.
Hey, boys, I'm going to take a big deep breath on this one because I just dropped into work.
Off the
no
long
red
run.
Fist. I'm going to pull out the old double red cobras of frustration on this one, boys.
Righto.
Okay. Driving to work and the bloody roadworks and the 25K signs. This is the comedy state of roadworks.
Where are you? What road?
Mate, South Road, any direction.
Yep.
The 25K zones, you know what they remind me of? A time when there was no roadworks, when I was 25, and things were bloody good.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I've had enough of the roadworks. Enough.
Right. Go to the pub at lunchtime, James, and just have a couple of pints.
You might need to go to the footy and just chill out. Let's go to Strath. G'day, Phil.
How you going, boys?
Good, Phil.
Just calling up about the resale ticket to the price for the footy this weekend. Bought tickets on Sunday for $35.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, one of the boys tried to grab a ticket to come along, $97.
Were they scalpers or people just putting
On Ticket Tech. You jump on Ticket Tech, you buy your ticket, and then it redirects you to a different website called Ticket Tech Resale. For $97.
Dits, what's your footy club doing at your home game?
Making money.
Oh, nah, that's 97's a lot of money,
that's
Phil.
That's a lot. That's too much. That doesn't sound right.
All right. So if Phil wants
to go
to the
footy. If anyone from the
club
is listening, quite seriously, need to know about that. If someone's ripping people off, that's not good.
Mm. Yeah, that's never happened at Port Adelaide.
No.
Let's go to Hallett Cove. G'day, Adam.
G'day, lads. The big red fist has got to go to Fox Footy's bloody danger cam. That's absolutely appalling.
What's happened?
Who wants to see him walking through the midfield with a big Nat Fly show going on in the background?
What's he done? I haven't seen this.
Fox Footy last week had a danger cam. They had a big square up in the middle of the screen just on Dangerfield.
Okay. No good?
No good, mate. No good.
Okay. All right. Good on you, Adam.
So you'd be a Crows fan, Adam?
No,
you a Crows fan, Adam?
He's coming back.
You're a Portman.
There you go.
I got that wrong. All right, I got that wrong.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch up at triplem.com.au.